We definitely believe in fairness and justice. And the reason we do is because it is a gift from God. That's why we have it. God is perfectly just. As it says in Deuteronomy, His work is perfect, for all of His ways are just, a God of faithfulness without injustice. You know who wrote that? Moses, after God told him he couldn't enter into the promised land. And he said, "My God is fair and just," even with that punishment laid out to Moses like that. And of course, God's perfect justice means that His law, His standards are perfect. As a matter of fact, they're beyond our reach. You may say, "I'm not greedy." Well, have you ever been envious of something that somebody else had? You may say, "I've never committed adultery." Have you ever wanted to? You may say, "I've never murdered anybody." Have you ever called anybody a bad name? That's what it says in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' own words. You call your brother a fool, you're guilty. There are no halfways with God. His standard is perfection, period. Period. So even your thoughts and desires can incur guilt and condemnation and sin. In fact, it says in the book of James, "He who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin." This is the story of God's law concerning you and me. And of course, the penalty for the sin that we have is death. That's Romans 6:23. And it doesn't mean a private, the most least painful kind of death. This death means a public death, and it means suffering pain. It means suffering shame, and not just physical suffering for us sinners, but an internal suffering as well. A suffering of regret, suffering of failure, a feeling of rejection. How much does that hurt you? I know it hurts me a lot. That's all part of the penalty for our sin under God's law. And of course, the greatest example we have of somebody going through this suffering is the person we're here to remember tonight. And that is Jesus Christ Himself. He was betrayed. How does that make us feel? He was abandoned. He was spit upon. He was beaten. Thorns were jammed into His head. He was whipped. And He was nailed to a cross, all while He was being insulted. All while He was being insulted. And maybe the worst of His suffering was this, when He said on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" It's an awful feeling, is it? Isn't it, to feel forsaken? Terrible feeling. Feels like all the support of your life is gone. All the good things that help you, that lift you up, that feed you, that support you, all gone. I'll never forget one time when my younger brother was 2 years old. And he wandered out of the yard, and we couldn't find him. So we cut through the neighbor's yard and went into the next street. And I looked down the sidewalk, and there he was. It was wintertime. He had a brown suit on, brown hat. He's waddling down the sidewalk like this, maybe 75 yards up. And I ran to get him. When I approached him, I took a good look at his face. And there were older kids standing on either side of him. And all he could do was look up and cry and look to them like, "There's nothing here for me. Where's my family? Where are the ones who love me? Where's my support?" Oh, the kid was in agony. Agony. That has to be something of what it means when the Bible says being lost. Being eternally separated from God and from all the goodness that comes from Him. And that's what you and I deserve. This is what you and I deserve as sinners. Sometimes we take our sin very lightly, but we know that God doesn't. His standards are perfect and higher than we can climb. Kind of a negative situation for you and me, isn't it? Under God's law, it is. So why are we here tonight? Because God sent His Son so that we don't have to suffer all of that. We suffer in this world, no question. We suffer for the wrongdoings we do. Sometimes suffering just comes your way and you haven't done anything. But God doesn't want us to suffer the way you see Jesus suffer in the Scriptures. That's not His aim. That's His ultimate justice. When He sent His Son, Jesus stood there and took all of that as though He were every one of us in this room. And not only in this room, but everywhere on the planet, everybody who's ever been on the planet, and everybody who ever will be on the planet, Jesus was like all of us sinners rolled into one. And God's full wrath for our sin was put on Him. Let's face it, He was the only perfect one. He's the only one who could pay that penalty. You and I couldn't pay it. We're not good enough. He was and is good enough. And He's the only person who could pay it in full. He's the only one wealthy enough to pay that fine. You have to have enough wealth to pay a fine when it's levied against you. This was a spiritual fine of the greatest magnitude. Jesus had all the wealth in Himself, the perfection, to pay it on our behalf, and it's paid in full. And nobody can add to it. Completely paid by Him alone. I wonder sometimes if that isn't what eternal punishment is. You're there in agony forever paying a price you cannot pay. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wonder. Jesus was paid or sent to pay this price because God would rather show His mercy to us than His justice. That's where He wants us to end up, in His mercy. As Peter writes, "The Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." That's the heart of God. You know, in the middle of Jesus suffering all of that justice on the cross, He showed mercy. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He turns to the criminal on the cross and He says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He makes provision for His mom with the Apostle John. Same one who is our judge is also our Savior, our rescuer. Imagine a man who couldn't hold a job. The reason he couldn't hold a job was his bad behavior. He couldn't get along with the people at work. He couldn't get along with customers. He was always getting fired. And as a result, he had less and less money, and he was at a point where he couldn't feed his family anymore. So he started stealing food. And he got caught, he got arrested, and he was taken into court. And the judge upheld justice. He laid a fine on this man for stealing food. Knew the man couldn't pay it, but let him know, "This fine is on you." And then the judge gave the man a choice. He said, "Well, you can't pay this fine. You can go to prison, and if that happens, your family may starve. Or I can pay the fine for you and then assign a personal trainer to you who can help you with your awful behavior and get you to the point where you can get along with people and you can hold a job and make enough money to feed that family." There's judge as judge and savior. What would be the best choice for that poor crook to make at that point? It's obvious. Jesus pays the fine, and if you accept Him as savior, you get all of the benefits that He has to give. The forgiveness of sins, the mercy, and all of the personal training that He has to offer to go with it. This is His unconditional love. You just accept it. You just accept Jesus and you receive all of that. This little girl asked her dad one time, "Dad, what does unconditional love mean?" And his dad said, "Well, you know that puppy next door?" "Yep." "You know how the boys treat that puppy, don't you?" They tease it. They throw things at it. They kick it. They make fun of it. They laugh at it. And how does that puppy treat them when they come home every day? Well, that puppy wags his tail and he tries to lick them. He loves them anyway. And that was Jesus Christ on the cross and before when he was arrested. That was the unconditional love. Oh, Jesus is no puppy and his father is no puppy. But he put that characteristic in that puppy, didn't he? Because that's part of him. The unconditional love of God. Loves rebels, loves traitors, loves adulterers, loves murderers, loves liars, loves slanderers. The list goes on. So we are here tonight to remember this great Savior. Number one, the integrity of God. Justice was served. Somebody paid that price. And it was on behalf of all of us. Number two, the mercy of God in his love. Doing it so you and I don't have to go through that. If you are here and you have never received Christ as your Savior, let me urge you to do it. I did it over 40 years ago, and he has not let me down. I'm here to tell you, he has not let me down. And I've made plenty of mistakes and sinned plenty of sins over 40 years. That's plenty of time. He's never dumped me at all. He's always kept his love and his forgiveness and his help in my life. And you ask any Christian, it's the same. And if you have believed in Jesus Christ, as I have, let's take these words to heart from 1 Peter. Conduct yourselves in reverence towards God during your stay on this earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God for his love, his choice of mercy over justice. And may we all accept it, and once we do, grow in it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.